Some of the people with the greatest influence on art and culture are not necessarily the ones who actually make the art. That's not such a new thought, but there are reminders of it around right now. Marcia Tucker, the late art curator, for instance. The new museum, which Ms. Tucker founded, is currently celebrating its 40th anniversary. The place was born out of scandal, truly. A well-known scandal at that. Ms. Tucker had been a curator at the Whitney Museum and mounted an exhibit of the work of Richard Tuttle. It was reviled by the critics, especially one who summed up the work of this extreme minimalist artist by saying, among other harsh comments, "Less is less." Soon, the controversial Ms. Tucker was out of a job.
I got fired in December. I packed up my stuff and I left just before New Year's weekend.
What's extraordinary, though, is what happened then, which really became her calling card. Marcia Tucker, fired by the Whitney, turned right around, headed downtown, and the very next business day posted the sign for what she called the new museum.
I had rented this little space in the Fine Arts Building, and then I opened for business the day after New Year's.
A good story and an inspiration to us all. It's now getting to be your last chance to see the new museum's 40th anniversary show in its suitably eccentric building down near Stanton Street called Pursuing the Unpredictable. The accompanying book, 40 Years New, good title, tells and shows in photographs a lot of the history since its opening in 1977. But there's another, smaller book that's fascinating, and that's Tucker's memoir called A Short Life of Trouble. Tucker, who died from cancer at 66 in 2006, writes about how to be a curator, what to look for. She said at first she tried looking for artwork that met her terms. But after a while, she wrote, I realized that I was approaching the whole enterprise from the wrong end. I needed to find out what the work's terms were, and then see if I could stretch my own understanding to meet them. The idea of meeting art on its own terms, that was also vital to Lester Bangs, though he might not have put it that way. Bangs, the world's best-known rock critic and also a guru, mentor, and personality, was memorably played by Philip Seymour Hoffman in the film Almost Famous, advising a budding journalist who was in love with rock and roll.
You're going to meet girls. They're going to try to fly you places for free, offer you drugs. And I know it sounds great. But these people are not your friends. You know, these are people who want you to write sanctimonious stories about the genius of rock stars, and they will ruin rock and roll and strangle everything we love about it.
The real Bangs? He was a little like that.
You know, rock as theater is the same old music, the same old gunk, dressed up in new clothes. You know, I mean, I saw Jethro Tull, where they had one member of the band got in a bunny rabbit suit and hopped across the stage. You know, the audience is there in gapes. You know, I felt real alienated watching this. You know?
Rock wasn't his only obsession. Bang said Charlie Hayden, for instance, was one of the most hypnotically inventive bassists in contemporary jazz. And he used that observation to comment that some jazz pathfinders, as he called them, had forgotten to play with their hearts, as well as their fingers, minds, and nervous systems. He was always controversial, with a checkered relationship with Rolling Stone and a slightly more consistent one with Cream magazine. He died of an overdose in 1982 at age 33. Now the actor and writer Eric Jensen will play Lester Bangs in the one-man show How to Be a Rock Critic, opening soon at the Public Theater. Lester Bangs and Marcia Tucker, though they may never have met, both changed how we look at certain art, not because they made the art, but because they found new ways to kind of push the art around. Two cultural figures about whom you can actually use the words passion and vision. It's Fishko Files. I'm Sarah Fishko. ¶¶